Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today we want to talk about reading your Bible, specifically reading the stories of your Bible. But before we get to that, let me remind you to do the podcasty things. If you would, rate and review and subscribe. And think about someone you can pass this episode on to. That really does help us to spread the conversation of applying God's word and theology to the stuff of life. Well, when you read the stories in your Bible, what do you think about? Let's be honest here. This is a safe place. You can talk to me. What do you think about when you read the stories of the Bible? Do you just read them and move along? Well, let me just stop and pause and say, hey, that's great. Read your Bible. Even if you don't directly get everything every time, it's just great for you to have the habit of being a Bible reader. So I want to commend you just for that. But sometimes maybe you just read it and go, well, that's interesting. And you know what? God made stories to be interesting to us. God made us to be story givers and story receivers. We love to tell stories and we love to hear stories. So maybe you just go, that's interesting and good. Maybe you say, I'm going to take it one step further and I'm going to try to pull out some moral lessons from what I learn in history. And I'm going to grab on to the good examples, and I'm going to avoid the things that the people in the stories, the bad guys, do. I'm going to do the things that the good guys do, and that'll go better for me because these are good guys and it's in the Bible. So, all right, I did it. Now let's move on and read something else next time. But I want to tell you today and challenge you over these next few episodes, that the stories in the Bible have a greater purpose than just to be interesting and just to be moral examples. All right? This is, I think you'll get this, but I think the more we think about it, if we sit here for a moment, the more profound it becomes. And it's this. The stories of the Bible move the bigger story along, all right? I say that because sometimes if you've grown up like me in a church that has a Sunday school program, you know, when you're young, they highlight the stories. It's almost like that's all they focus on, the various stories of the Bible, especially the kid-friendly stories, the PG version, the sanitized version. Have you ever had that experience where you've grown and now you're a Christian on your own, you're reading your Bible on your own, and you read some of the stories that you were told as kids and you went, what? I didn't know that was in there. I think that my Sunday school teacher left a little bit out, did a little editing, if you will. Well, the stories are important. And you can forget that they're part of a bigger story when you're in a Sunday school class that's just cherry-picking favorites that would be appropriate for kids without really any big picture rhyme or reason. Again, I'm not faulting anybody or faulting any curriculum, certainly not faulting your old Sunday school teacher faithfully week by week trying to teach you the Bible when you were a kid. That's great. But we do need to make sure that we keep the bigger story in mind. That is the story of creation and the fall and moving forward through the history of Israel to the culmination of the Messiah coming and his perfect life and his substitutionary death on the cross in our place. And then praise God that the story doesn't end there, but that Jesus rose from the dead. And really, even the rest of the New Testament is the filling out of that story, looking forward to the big grand finale when Jesus comes back and we have ultimate heaven on earth. That's incredible. And it's great. Well, each of the stories of the Bible, the ones that are familiar to you, the ones that are less familiar, make a contribution to that bigger story. And so we actually get in trouble if we just cherry pick it out, because we can even, misinterpret, but we can certainly miss the emphasis if all we look at is the story in and of itself, isolated from the bigger context of the book you're studying, the bigger context of the whole story of redemption. Another significant thing that the stories of the Bible do for us is that they provide theological encounters. I mean, sometimes when you just read a theology book, or if you listen to just verses that give you straight teaching, it's good. Of course it's good. But does it flesh that out for you in real life experience? And when you see the story, or you read the story, and you're kind of envisioning what's going on, you get the flesh and blood real life experience that you may have missed just on its own. All right, so let's try this out. Okay, so over the next few episodes, I want us to have these theological encounters. I just basically want to tell you one of the Bible stories, just like we're in old Sunday school. And then when we do talk about the story, let's consider the theology, the theological encounter that we have and that the people in the story had, so that we may can draw that out a little bit more and then see how that fleshes out in our real life experience. So I hope the big benefit is going to be to help you read your Bible better. I hope you are a better story reader, not just read it, kind of make some examples and move on, but to really benefit. Okay, so let's go all the way back. First book in the Bible, book of Genesis, and let's talk about the story of Joseph. Now, a lot of times, because the Joseph story starts in Genesis 37 and goes all the way to the end of Genesis, Genesis 50, it's pretty rare that you consider the Joseph story as one long story. But, you know, you pick it apart, and maybe, like I said, in those Sunday school classes, you might grab onto just a section of the Joseph story, and it's so long, it's certainly understandable, but you can miss that this one big story has some big picture lessons, not only the isolated parts of the story. The isolated parts are all important, but they build to the one big story, okay? So let's consider the big story. Obviously, we're just going to kind of skip through it. I hope I'm reminding you of some things that you've known because you've been a good Bible reader throughout your Christian life. Maybe if you're new to the faith and new to the Lord, some of these things will be new. I would encourage you, get your Bible, grab it, and start in Genesis 37 and just start reading through. I'm not saying you have to read the entire thing in one read, but work toward that, right? Just take it in a few big sittings and see if you can capture some of these big picture observations and lessons. All right, the Joseph story starts pretty bad in some ways, right? We don't think of it necessarily as starting bad, but in chapter 37, Joseph gets the special coat, right? The coat of many colors. Some people say, really, the issue was it was a long sleeve coat. It was a coat that said, Joseph is special, different than the rest of his brothers. He doesn't have to be a field worker. He's the special one. Okay, and of course, some people draw out lessons of family favorites and how that goes badly. Well, then Joseph has his dreams. You remember those? The sun, moon, and stars all bow down to his star, and he's kind of interpreting it like, wait a minute, this is pretty good. Everybody's going to bow down to me. I mean, he didn't say that this is pretty good, but that might be some of the things he was thinking. And the sheaves in the garden, you know, or in the fields all bow down to his sheave. So his brothers didn't like that at all. Even his parents, even his father, right? You're supposed to be my special kid, and I'm bowing down to you. And some people make special fault of Joseph because he told his brothers and his parents these dreams. They already had the sibling rivalry going, and now won't that be magnified when you're throwing out your dreams like this? But the Bible doesn't tell us that it was a bad thing. It just states the fact. Okay, we have to take a break. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt the story. But when we come back, we're going to keep on going with the Joseph story and see how this is a theological encounter.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment. Now, I want you to picture this. Picture the person who grew up in Sunday school, just like Dr. Kratz is describing. You know, the one that learned the Bible as a stack of disconnected stories. But they never really saw how it all fit together. Look, there are millions of people just like that, grown adults today who love the Lord, but they feel like they've been missing the bigger picture. And that's who John is talking to today. The Fortis Plus app, if you haven't downloaded it to your smartphone just yet, it puts the entire library of Integrated right there in your hand for free. Every single episode of Integrated is there, plus every episode of Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, The Better Way with Libby Glosson, and In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle, not to mention Wretched Radio with Todd Friel, and Fortis News with yours truly. You can find every bit of content that we create on a daily basis right there on Fortis Plus, because that's our distribution hub, and you can find it there for free. It'll never cost you any amount of money. All you have to do is download the app right now from the place where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. And the reason that it is free and the reason you don't pay anything is because of our gospel partners. They foot the bill. These are men and women just like you, ordinary believers who have joined us, linked arms with us because they believe in the content that we're creating every single day, so much so that they wanted to make sure that more people in more places all over the world also have access to the content. So if that's you, maybe you've been impacted by something you've heard here on Fortis Institute, and you want to also make sure that more people in more places have access to this content, then join us as a gospel partner. We would be honored. Just make sure you're giving to your local church first, and you're also not going to put yourself in any type of burden or bind to join us as a gospel partner. If those two areas are clear, then by all means, go to fortisinstitute.org right now and get all of the answers to all of the questions you have about what it would look like in your life to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated.
Welcome back to Integrated.
Welcome back.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, even a theology.
Break,
it has to move our hearts.
Really,
and now,
really
back to your
challenge.
Host,
I mean,
Dr.
Our little
John
podcast
Kratz.
Is not that long, and I'm going to try to tell the whole Joseph story and then make some applications for us. Well, we're going to have to go really fast. And maybe you've already got this podcast turned up to 1.5 speed. And so, you know, you better buckle your seatbelts. All right, we're still in Genesis chapter 37, looking at the big picture of the whole Joseph story. Okay, he's telling his dreams. His brothers find him in the field. They want to kill him, but end up selling him to the Ishmaelite slave traders. The Midianites come through. He's reported as dead to his father. Skip ahead to 39. And here we've got all these misjudgments. He's doing great in Potiphar's house. Potiphar buys him as a slave. And it's going great until Potiphar's wife comes around and wants to have an immoral relationship with Joseph. And Joseph rejects her and rejects that in the name of following the Lord. And she falsely accuses him, and he is put into prison. Now, in chapter 40, it doesn't go well for Joseph in prison. In some ways it does, because God is with Joseph in his deepest, darkest days, but he's in prison. And after a while, you've got the cupbearer and the baker, and they each have their dreams. Joseph interprets their dreams, and his big message to them is, remember me. Remember me, specifically to the cupbearer, because his dream meant, you're going to get out of here. And so you're going to be back in Pharaoh's presence, and Pharaoh can get me out of here. Remember who I am. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 14, only remember me when it is well with you. And please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh. And so get me out of this house, for I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit. So he's in the pit. And again, as we move forward, the cupbearer is restored, just like the dreams happened, and he completely forgets about Joseph. In fact, chapter 41, verse 1 says, after 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing out by the Nile. So he forgets for 2 years. And then Pharaoh has his dreams, and nobody can interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And finally, the cupbearer says, oh, yeah, I remember. I had a dream when I was in prison, and there was a guy there who could interpret the dreams. And so even though none of Pharaoh's wise guys could interpret it, they bring out Joseph. Joseph interprets and applies the dreams, right? You're going to have 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And here's a good application. Let's store up huge amounts of food so that we can have an abundance. And of course, this did happen. And Pharaoh says, who's wiser than this guy? Let's make him in charge of the whole deal. And so he is appointed as the number 2 man in the most powerful nation on the earth at the time, certainly in the region, Egypt. And it happens just like the dreams said, just like Joseph interpreted by the power of the Lord. And so they had this massive abundance of grain and storehouses, and they were able to sell it to the people, and Pharaoh became even more powerful and even more rich. And then even others in the region heard about the food supplies, and they came to buy, supplies to save themselves. And of course, Joseph's brothers, the very ones who had put him in the pit, the very ones who had sold him into slavery and lied about him dying to their father, Jacob. Now they need to come to Egypt. Of course, they don't recognize Joseph. How long has it been? About 13 years it has been. And they show up. They want the food. Joseph recognizes them. Joseph basically puts them through a series of tricks and tests, if you will, right? He gives them the food, but he restores their money bags to their bags as if they've stolen the thing. And Benjamin, the younger brother, hadn't come. And so He made that a test to bring Benjamin and then took his goblet and put it in Benjamin's bag when he was going, you know, and then Judah volunteers to stay, you know, on behalf of the family instead of Benjamin. Anyway, kind of showing that Judah had a complete transformation of heart, because Judah was the big ringleader in having Joseph sold. So what a great story. Obviously, this is just the ultimate flyby in all of this. Joseph then reveals himself to his brothers. They are absolutely dumbstruck, you know, at this thing. And Joseph is weeping over them. He's asking about his father. He's offering them forgiveness and a place to stay. They go back, they get Jacob, and they all live in the land of Egypt under Joseph's watch care, because Joseph is the number two man in the most powerful nation in the region. And more importantly, for their purposes, they've got the food. And there is no food in the land of Israel or anywhere else in the region. Three times in this one section, as he's revealing himself, he points to God and he says, God did this. So in chapter 45, beginning with verse 5, Joseph says to his brothers, "And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on the earth and to keep alive for you many survivors." Yes, so they brought their family. They lived there. They flourished there. I mean, during their time in Egypt, they go from being a family with 12 sons to a nation full of people. And it ends up with Joseph getting ready to die, and he blesses his brothers, blesses Joseph and his brothers with almost like these prophetic blessings of what's going to happen. And Joseph's sons, you know, Ephraim and Manasseh, they're also blessed, and they get to join in with tribal inheritance in the future nation, all according to God. So I think this is an amazing story. Okay, so what's the big takeaway when you think about it? So the big takeaway is often grabbing onto these little parts of the story and thinking things like, okay, it's bad for parents to pick the favorite kids and to shower them with special gifts. You remember when Joseph was being tempted by Potiphar's wife, he ran away, even leaving his outer garment. He took off running. And how many youth groups have heard that story with kind of a big takeaway being run away from sexual temptation? Don't just linger, but launch yourself. Get out of there. Well, is that a good thing to do? Sure, that's a fine thing to do. I definitely agree. You ought not linger in your lusts. You know, take a walk. Get out of that situation. Turn the heat off, right? All those things. That's great. But the big lesson is not that. It's the theology. God did this, right? And of course, the big climactic ending is in chapter 50, verse 20. After Jacob dies, the brothers come back again, repenting before Joseph. And Joseph said to them in verse 19, "Do not fear. For am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." That's the big lesson. Trust God when your life looks bad, because God is at work. God is sovereign over the details of your life. Joseph had bad days every day for 13 years. but God was working to bring his people and keep them alive, including Judah, the bad guy, because Judah would be the distant relative of the Lord Jesus Christ. The food that Joseph saved up was to feed Judah's family so that Judah's family could keep reproducing until we come to our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, that's a theological encounter. So let's stop there and let's think. When you read a story, don't just hear God's word, but go do God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreintz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreintz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.